In the kingdom of Otacia, magic is not merely forbidden, it's hunted. Prince Silas, grimly known as the Witch Slayer, has built his reputation executing hundreds of mages, those ethereal beings with pointed ears and supernatural abilities. Yet beneath his ruthless exterior lies a man haunted by doubt and unspoken regrets. 5 years ago, his world shattered when Lena, the woman who had begun to soften his heart, was seemingly burned to death in a magical attack on the palace. The incident left him with both physical and psychological scars, including a prominent facial wound inflicted by his father, King Ulric, when Silas dared to publicly mourn her. "Every time you see your imperfect flesh," his father had sneered, "remember how much of a disappointment you really are." What if the person you've been taught to hate is the one you're destined to love? And what happens when the greatest enemy of magical beings discovers that the woman he mourns is not only alive, but is herself a powerful mage? The kingdom of Otacia exemplifies magical persecution, with mages facing sanctions, mob violence, and public executions that have become grotesque spectacles. This oppression stems from fear, jealousy, and religious doctrine portraying magic users as abominations. The magical community includes shape-shifting warlocks, emotion-manipulating empaths, and elementalists commanding nature. While kingdoms like Otacia hunt them ruthlessly, others, such as Lysandra, offer sanctuary through hidden networks. Politically, some rulers maintain public hostility toward magic while secretly employing magical advisors. In Forcemont, Silas and Lena discover King Leroy and his people are actually warlocks living under glamour, challenging Silas's perception as he realizes these abominations have built a better society than his father's tyranny. Magic operates under strict rules requiring specific sacrifices. Lena's teleportation depletes her for hours. Donnie's transformations cause exhaustion, and memory spells need monthly maintenance. Advanced magic demands even greater costs. When Rhea uses blood magic to access Turin's telepathy, she creates a permanent psychic bond affecting both for life. Unknown to Silas, Lena survived, and now leads Ames, a sanctuary for magical beings. They first met during Silas's rare day of freedom outside castle walls, granted by his mother's invisibility spell. Using the alias Quill, he encountered Lena in Otacia's outer ring. Their relationship grew through weekly combat training, blossoming into love. Lena had hidden her pointed ears, fearing his reaction. When King Ulric ordered all mages executed, she fled while pregnant with Silas's child. She later miscarried, the grief awakening her fire magic. Years later, both have transformed. Silas has married Princess Arabella in a political alliance, while Lena has become supreme of Ames. Their reunion ignites with raw emotion. "I hate how badly I crave you," Lena confesses. "I hate that I will always compare every lover to you and come up sure-handed." Silas responds, "I haven't known happiness since you left my life. How can't you comprehend how desperately I desire you?" Both protagonists bear the weight of leadership and its demands. Silas works against his father's regime while appearing loyal, knowing discovery means death for himself and others. Lena leads the mages of Ames, making decisions that impact her entire community. Their quest takes them across kingdoms, seeking allies against the necromancer's undead army. In Faltrun, they discover hundreds of mages imprisoned rather than transferred to Otacia as promised. Their successful rescue comes at a terrible cost, including the death of young Ciorse, who had bonded with Silas. Sacrifice defines their journey. Lena erases her memories of Silas to escape their painful situation. Silas reveals his scarred back to his companions, physical evidence of his father's cruelty. His words to Lena capture their tragedy. "The only reason I am married to her is because you took Lena away from me, because you all made me believe she was dead." Their suffering stems from choices made with incomplete information, leading to years of unnecessary pain. This story powerfully examines trauma and the difficult journey toward healing. Silas carries both physical scars from his father's abuse and psychological wounds from sexual assault. "I buried the real me so deep I wasn't sure he existed anymore," he confesses, "until I saw Lena again." Lena bears her own traumas, losing her child, assault by Rurik, and constant fear of discovery. These experiences shaped her into a fierce protector while leaving her struggling with intimacy and trust. The healing process unfolds through vulnerability, like when Silas reveals his scarred back to Lena, or when she confides her fears about intimacy to Roland. Healing develops through connections, Silas bonding with orphan Circe, Lena reconciling with her father Waylon. Redemption becomes central for Silas as he confronts his past as the Witch Slayer. He acknowledges his violence without denial. "I killed so many of your kind. I killed my grandfather." Yet he finds unexpected forgiveness, even from Torin, whose mother was tortured on Silas's orders, as he commits to creating a different future. The story reveals a rich mythological dimension featuring active deities, Ravayana, life, Valor, death, Saluna, love, Tifara, wisdom, and Azre, vengeance, justice. These gods directly influence current events. Two shocking revelations emerge. King Ulric is the god of deceit, born from Valor's union with a mortal, explaining his necromantic powers and command over the undead army. Meanwhile, Lena is Azre's daughter, the goddess of purification, destined to counter Ulric's plans. Divine connections appear in subtle symbols throughout the narrative. The Otatian crest features animals representing four prophesied gods: Deceit, Spider, Sacrifice, Pelican, Rebirth, Phoenix, and Purification. Paintings in Temple Saluna titled Rebirth and Purification further hint at these divine figures and their destined roles. This divine element intertwines with themes of destiny versus choice. Are Silas and Lena's feelings purely their own, or do they serve a greater purpose? Their rare magical soul tie bond suggests their relationship transcends mere personal happiness. The climax converges all threads as Lena, after 30 days of torture in Hallstead, finally discovers her true identity through conversations with Azre, who appears as a glowing figure only she can see. "It's me. I am the weapon," she realizes, piecing together fragments of conversations. The ultimate truth emerges. She wasn't Waylon's daughter, but Azre's. "I am a god. I am your daughter, the goddess of purification," she declares, as Azre affirms, "and you shall bow to no one." Meanwhile, Silas, thought dead from a cursed blade, is approached by two figures: Quill, his mother's former love, and a girl with jet black hair and golden eyes, his supposedly dead sister, Arya. What began as forbidden love between a prince and a mage has evolved into a divine power struggle. Yet amid these grand events, the story remains anchored in personal journeys toward redemption and connection. In this realm where magic has consequences and love transcends boundaries, perhaps the greatest power lies not in divine heritage, but in choosing compassion over hatred and hope over despair.